Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks so much for listening. It's always exciting to think of people all over the world tuning in whenever they can and listening to the show. It's a lot of fun for me, and I hope you enjoy it and get a lot out of it. My guest tonight, Linda Deer, is one of those people who's different from most of the people that I have on the show in that she had an experience of communicating with spirit from very early childhood. And so I'm really excited to talk with her in a few minutes right after tonight's metaphysical musing. And the changing of the seasons is really fascinating in so many different ways. But as we come to the end of the fall here in New England, who knows where you are? If you're in Australia or some of the other parts of the Southern Hemisphere, it's summer there. But here, we're at the end of fall and we're going into early winter. We're expecting our first snowfall tonight. And I'm watching the world change. And I moved to this new apartment in the summertime. So I've never seen, until the fall, what was on the other side of the trees. I never saw the buildings that were there. I knew they were there. I drove past them on the road. But I didn't know what I would see from my window. And the shape of the space in which we live changes with the seasons. So as the leaves start to thin out and they start to fall, we start to see through the thickets of trees and see what's behind it, and the space opens up. The leaves fall and there are piles of leaves and the shape of the ground changes. And then, at least here where we have snow, when we get snow, everything changes again. If we get a foot of snow, the whole shape and configuration of everything, first of all, it's white, but everything gets smoothed out and everything gets rounded and the roads have to be plowed, and that throws snow up in big piles. And sometimes you can't even see around the corner or see what's going on. The shopping centers, if you don't live in a place that has lots of snow, imagine parking lots that are way too big for the number of cars that are going to be parked there because they have to push big piles of snow from the areas where cars are going to park into these big piles to get them out of the way with large machinery. So it's a fascinating thing, but the shape and color of the world that we live in, the world that I'm living in, is changing. And we don't really focus on and think about how that affects our whole perception of what's going on and how we are in relationship to the space. And part of this is I'm also an artist, and I look at all this and I go, oh, look at how that changed, and watch these colors change and what's going on here. You know, even the color of the sky changes with the changing of the seasons. I don't know how many other people notice this as striking, as a striking element of it, but there's a point in the autumn where the color of the clouds changes, and there's a pink and purple glow to the bottom of the clouds and to the shadows in the clouds. And it's different. The world turns different. The colors change. And as somebody is prompting me, yeah, in the winter, it's going to be all, the sky's going to be gray. And that's true too. We will have a study in black, white, and gray soon. So I'm just putting that out to everybody to kind of look at how nature changes the shape of the space that you live in and how that affects you. Because we really don't think about that all the time. So that's tonight's musing, and I'm excited to talk to Linda. Hello. thanks for so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you. I'm glad you had me.
I saw your story and, you know, your background, and immediately was just fascinated with what it must have been like to grow up that way. And so the first thing I always ask everybody on the show is to tell your story, you know, how things unfolded for you, how you wound up being who you are, doing what you're doing. And for you, it starts very early in your life.
Yeah, it did. It started right out of the gate. The first memories I had was encountering my spirit guide angels. And it was because I found myself in a frightening situation where I was in danger because of child abuse in the family. So at 20 months old, I ran out of options. So with that happening, I had nothing. At 20 months old, you aren't afraid to ask. If it's painful, you just put it out there. You just ask, because that's all that's left. Mm-hmm. So when I did that, to my surprise, they answered me. They were there. And I'm like, I wasn't sure who it was. I wasn't sure it was them. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to reason any of this. But I knew for the first time in my life that someone was there. Someone was looking out for me. And someone who loved me. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't afraid. So that's how I met my spirit guides. And as soon as that happened, the relationship with them just built. And the first thing they taught me, or not taught me, but directed me to learn about, I always correct myself when I say taught, because your spirit guides never teach you anything. What they do is they present you with opportunities, with events, with situations that you can choose to step into or not. They never mm-hmm. push things on you. It's always, you always have the free will to do it, to act on it or not. So as they presented opportunities to me, I call it, as a little kid, a little baby, I was experimenting with everything they threw at me. You know, as a little child, that's the difference between a child and an adult. As a child, you're just ready to play with everything, tear it apart, learn, what is this? Let's try this. Let's cast a little shadow on it over here and see what it turns into. Let's learn, all right? Mm-hmm. So what they threw at me, and the first thing that they put in my path was to learn who I was. Upon reflection, looking back on all that, I realized that the reason they taught me, or not taught me, see how I do that?
Yep,
correct it. The reason that they presented me with that opportunity, and I learned it like a sponge, is that until you know who you are, you can't be present to learn anything. What's happening in the world today is kids, you know, they miss that moment, that opportunity to meet their guides, because right from the beginning, they get distracted. And one distraction leads to the next, and then to the next. And before they know it, they're 10 steps down the road of distractions. And their kids learned so well that by the time they get down the road 10 steps of distractions, then they forgot where they started. They forgot who they were before they got here, which is exactly where they need to start from. So this sounds a little complicated, but it's actually very simple, okay? And it's where we all started from, and it's not news to anybody. This is not some kind of a special secret I have. You know, guided is about living a guided life. It's about learning about your guides and living a guided life, meaning walking through your life with the assistance of your guides, with the wisdom and the intelligence of your guides.
All right. And Guided is the name of your book.
That's the name of the book, Guided.
Yeah.
And it was just published on Sunday, David. We just got it published on Sunday.
Congratulations. Isn't that incredibly exciting?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, people are buying it and they're loving it and it's helping them, you know. So anyway, that's how it all started. And from that, I have never known a life without my guides. I have, every step of the way, they've been there with me and I've had this communication with them. And when I say that, I mean a telepathic communication or a sense where I can detect that they're there, you know, or a dream that I have where they come through and they tell me what they need, what I need to know or understand. You know, they're always there. Or just washing the dishes or, you know, taking a shower. They're always right there. Just they come through and they say so much that sometimes I run back into my computer and I hope I can remember everything they just told me, you know. And so that's what it was like when I wrote the book. They were right there with me the whole time. And the book was really easy to write because that's just the way it works. There's no frustration. There's no resistance. It just flows. And in the book, there's 137 lessons, tips, awarenesses, and learnings where they come through and they drop in their insight throughout the story so people can reflect on what was just written and how it applies to their life.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I thought I was done writing the book, David, and they woke me up night after night, like 2 weeks after I thought I was done, and they woke me up and they from 1 o'clock to like 3 or 4 in the morning, and they had me dropping in these insights throughout the book, reading it from start to finish. I'm going, oh my God, this is brilliant. You know, I can't take the credit for it. I was there. I was doing the dictation for the book. You know, so anyway, it's interesting. It's fascinating. It's what it's like when you're guided.
And it's fascinating in this culture, at least in this country, that the kinds of things that you're talking about, having a telepathic communication or hearing voices who are giving you advice and information and making suggestions would be considered crazy.
You know, I was born in 1952, and I started my first memories. I started in 1954 is when I first started really remembering things.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember everything. I mean, I have a memory that just is unbelievable, and that's part of what made Guided possible. Is I could I remembered everything, so writing it out was not an effort for me. And in the 50s. If you had any of these awarenesses, you were really out there, you know?
Right.
I mean, I had to be, in fact, my guides made it really, really clear to not tell anybody about any of this that they were showing me, that I was experimenting with, that I was learning. They told me not to tell anybody about it. It was like the only rule not to tell anybody because they knew it would put me in danger. I mean, I was already in deep water in this family I was growing up in, but they knew better than that. And so I did. I had no trouble keeping it to myself. And as I grew up, I realized just how wise that was.
Well, the 50s was a very paranoid, crazy time. The whole country went nuts.
Yeah, it was. So anyway, I kept it to myself, but I sure didn't repress it. Once I made that contact with them, and I was in this family, that it was like, oh, please, tell me this isn't happening. Okay, and I bumped into these amazing, intelligent guides. I was home free. Everything that I learned, my parenting came from my spirit guides, not from my family.
Sure.
So even in the book, the first part one, there's four parts to the book. In part one, it's named Raised by Spirit Guides, because I was raised by spirit guides, the most intelligent source there was. I was way ahead of everybody because of it. And again, I was misinterpreted throughout my life. I mean, because I was quiet about it, you know, and I let people think they had the knowledge. I didn't try to compete with anybody. That was the absolute opposite of what I learned from my guides, you know. So they, you know, even when I grew up, even as an adult, and I saw people in the, let's say, the New Age movement, mm-hmm. how they get into this competition. It's like, please don't do this. You know, I'd look at it and go, that is not what I learned, not even close to what I learned.
Right.
And it was to me, I was embarrassed. And it just kept me even more quiet about how I learned what I learned and just how much I was connected to my guides, because people just made fools of themselves, you know?
Well, yeah, the especially the early New Age stuff got into one-upsmanship and who's more spiritual than whom and all of that stuff. And for me, in the middle of all that, I was apprenticing with shamans and also, you know, looking at them and going, what are you doing?
Right. So what kind of shamans were they, David?
That's my story, but one of them was trained in the Philippines by psychic surgeons, and the other one was a Cherokee medicine man. And people ask me what the training was like, and I say, well, it's kind of like being thrown in the deep end of a swimming pool randomly with no notice. And, you know, they'd watch and go, well, he's not drowning. That's pretty good.
He's going to make it.
Right. And you then you can't have a conversation about it because that takes you up in your head, and
yeah,
it's all
right.
About the experience. So, you know, you come out of it and go, and what? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. That's
now,
great.
Now you know you can survive that and you can do it. Okay.
Yeah, that's
on
right.
On to the next thing.
Well, that's right. And you learned, how old were you when you learned that, David?
Oh, I was in my 30s.
In your 30s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Half a lifetime ago.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, you've been a seeker for a while.
Yeah, I had been doing things before I did the apprenticeship, but yeah. That's true. But so what kinds of things more concretely, how did your guides guide you through this abusive childhood? What were the things that they were able to show you that allowed you to navigate all that?
Wow. Guided is 370 pages of that. I'm serious. I mean, it didn't stop and start somewhere. And
right.
But as it throughout my childhood, for example, when I was, I'll just hit on a few points, okay? Before I started school, there was a time when I was laying in my bed. And, you know, remember the spring-loaded darts that you had the rubber ends on and you'd lick them?
Yeah.
And then you'd shoot them on the smooth ceiling. That's before the cottage cheese ceilings kicked in the 70s. Remember that?
Right, right.
Okay, so I'd lay in bed, and I'd lick them, and I'd shoot the ceiling. And then, you know, I'd shoot as many as I could up on the ceiling before they started drying and dropping back down on me, right?
Right.
We all did this, didn't we, David? You know what I mean?
No, exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so anyway, at least us from us kids in the 50s and probably 60s did that, all right. So at one point, I said to myself, well, it's kind of irritating me that these darts keep falling back down on me. It's annoying me. So I thought to myself, what if I go up there and get them before they fall back down on top of me? So I did exactly that. The next thing I knew, I was up at the ceiling picking them off. And I went, well, that's pretty cool. And then at one point, when I went back up to the ceiling and I got them off before they could fall back down on my body, I looked back down in the bed and I saw my body laying there.
Right.
And I went, what is going on? And I questioned what was happening. In the instant that I did that, I slammed back into my body so hard that my head pounded. My
right.
whole body hurt. Okay, and I went, oh, okay, I'm missing something here. See, I was never by my spirit guides, I was never afraid of anything. They always explain things to me, and I always encouraged me to experiment with everything they threw my way. Okay, so that's what I did, and so I went to sleep, and I thought, well, I was tired from doing it, and then I was tired from getting slammed back in my body. So I went to sleep, and in my dream, they told me what I did wrong. They right. said, you can do this as much as you want to, as long as you don't question why you're in two places at the same time.
Right.
Then they said, if you feel like you're going to question it, just don't look back down at your body while you're up at the ceiling. I woke up and I went, well, that's the key. I can do this as much as I want to. See, that's what your spirit guides would tell you. But if it was your parents or some kind of authority figure, they'd tell you, don't ever do that again. You could get hurt. Blah, blah, blah. You know, your guides never do that. They're like, go ahead and do it again. Just do it like this, you know. So that's what I did, and I did it. And then I even looked down at my body while I was at the ceiling, knowing what I understood from them, and I didn't react to it. I wasn't, you know, questioning why I was in two places at the same time. I just did it over and over again. So one night in the living room when the family was watching Walt Disney on Sunday night on TV, remember that?
Yep.
I was sitting in one of the chairs in the back of the living room, and I thought to myself, well, if I go out of my body, I wonder if anyone will notice. So I did. I went up toward the ceiling, and my body was laying there watching the TV, okay? And everyone else, they'd walk by me and everything, and they didn't even notice I wasn't gone. And I went, now that's interesting. So see how cool this is, David? It just, when you start working with your spirit guides, it's just like one thing after the other. When they see that you are learning and that you're getting it and that you're not afraid and that, you know, you're ready for more and that you're, mm-hmm. that you're ready, willing, and able to get in there and learn about who it is you really are. That's what it all comes down to. Then there's nothing that now you've got their attention. Now you're irresistible to your spirit guides.
Right.
You're like a spirit guide magnet. There's nothing you can't do.
You know, both the experience of having the guides tell you what to do and how to do it, and also out-of-body experiences, which is what you were describing, is stuff that I've also had experience with, but not with that level of of guidance. It was different kind of stuff. But working with guides is an incredible way to live.
You're awake while you're here. You're not asleep.
Right. And there's so much to see and so much to hear and so much to experiment with. Mm-hmm. And it's like people ask me if I play video games, and I go, why? My life's a video game. You know, you go into this environment and
you're not looking for distractions, David.
You know, you meet these powerful beings who give you insights and objects of power, and then you level up and it gets more complicated and harder. And that's my life.
It's great. It's the only way to go. It's what we came here to do if we remember why we're here, you know?
Right.
But the closer we get to ourselves, the more we get to know who we are, the closer we get to that, the more powerful this becomes.
Right.
And the more authentic you live your life. It's just golden, you know? You don't miss out on this life.
Absolutely. We're going to go to a break, so I want to make sure people know how to find you. Why don't you give your website?
Sure. It's Linda Deer, that's LindaDeir.com. And when you hit the homepage and you click on the book, it'll take you right to Amazon where the book's available.
Fantastic. I'm so excited for you. That's such a wonderful thing to get your first book done, and I've got like three books that I've been writing in my head that I have to get onto out there into the world. So
good, David.
It's,
good.
It's encouraging. So we will be back shortly, unless of course we get taller, with my guest, Linda Deer, and her incredible story of having spirit guides from a very, very early age, and how that, what that's like. So we will be back here on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head, like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Linda Deer telling us the amazing story of her life, basically being raised by your spirit guides. How cool is that?
Well, to me, it doesn't get any better than that. And I don't even know any difference from that, David.
Right.
That's
right.
The world.
That's
my
been your
world.
Experience all along.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So as an adult, you know, and I always say there's no evidence that I've actually grown up, but where are you from? Well, I grew up in Brooklyn. No, There's no evidence I grew up.
That's too much.
So as an adult, or whatever it is we are when we're older, how does this fit into your life, and what's your relationship with the guides now?
Well, from a lifetime of study and exploration from my guides, I only know this life because I was raised by spirit guides. I literally was. And I'm completely different from any member of the family I was born into. It never made sense. So what happened to me when I became an adult, and I became an adult, I'd say, when I was 16, I lived in the adult world. You know, I was out of the house. And what happened for me is that within a couple years after the karmic residue fell off me, you know, from that whole
right.
experience, it was just really traumatic. After that was lifted, it was sent in a whole new set of guides. The first time I was sent in a whole new set of guides that I was aware of, and I got married when I was 16. I left home. I actually escaped from home with my, you know, getting out alive, which I didn't know was going to happen. And I left as a pregnant teenager, and I got married, and it was a couple years later that we got our first home. We were, you know, on fire. We were just moving through life really well, and we were successes right from the start. And when I was 19 years old, I call it the best year of my life, because it was that year that my new guides that were sent in, they told me that my life would completely change, my marriage would not work out. That was devastating for me. You know, when you're young and
right.
naive, you think, well, this was going to last forever. And, you know, I mean, you have all these, you know, illusions about life. Okay, so anyway, some of my illusions were getting broken, but they told me that I needed to make my own way. I needed to start with my own career and step into my own life without him. And so that's what started happening. I became an architectural home designer, a general contractor, a subcontractor by the time I was 19 years old.
Wow.
That's crazy. That I studied under an architect and got my license through an apprenticeship program because I had a kid and a husband, and I couldn't go take off and go to Cal Poly or something like that, you know?
Right.
So I had to do it the old-fashioned way, and that's exactly what I was guided to do. And I built my first home, my first custom home, when I was 21 years old, the one on my own. I had two other homes before that we did what was called sweat equity to get into our homes, so that with the developer that we bought them from, we were able to put the down payment together that way. And so I had two that I learned from, and then the third one I designed it myself, I built it myself, and stumbled a lot. But I learned, and so by the time I was 22, 23, I was building subdivisions, I was way on my way. I was a superstar for my age, for what I was doing in Northern California in the early 70s, you know? In a man's world, it was really strange, you know? No one way could I have done that on my own, David. I wasn't formally trained for any of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that apprenticeship path and doing that out of high school rather than college is something I watched in my life. I went to college, but I had gone to a technical high school, which I called Hogwarts for nerds. And some of the people, it was an incredible college prep program, so most of us went to college, but some of them went into a family business or trade apprenticeship or whatever it was. And those guys, by the time they were in their early 20s, were making money, had a business, had a family, were off and running, and the rest of us were in grad school.
Right.
Knowing
right.
nothing about the real world. So that apprenticeship approach and that apprenticeship program availability is for many, many people the best way to go, but we've kind of lost a lot of it.
I know. It's too bad, because what it did is it left me alone. I was able to mm-hmm. design the homes I wanted, which is really the only reason I got into the building business, is I wanted to see my designs come to life.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of drew me into becoming a home builder when that's not what I wanted. But when people saw I was a home builder and I was building, you know, one home and then three homes and then five and then a subdivision and blah, 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 you know, they saw it like, wow, you know, look what you're doing. Well, that wasn't at all what they saw me doing. Was not at all why I was doing it. You know, I was doing it because, just like when I grew up as a little kid, I was experimenting.
Right.
You know, so it was just more of the same, except now I was in a grown-up body. I was a big person, you know.
Well, it's the big people who still have that creativity and curiosity of children that get everything done in the world. So,
well, it sure is a lot more fun, David.
It's definitely more fun.
It's a lot more fun. And you learn a lot more and you feel so good. You know, you get to explore and experiment with all the things that you want to. You don't have to drag yourself to a job, a job. No. You know, you have a vocation. You have something that when you wake up every day, you're addicted to it. I mean, you just can't wait to get out of bed and do it again, you know?
And, you know, you had the incredible advantage of having a group that was guiding you every step of the way and
wow.
saying, look over here, turn this way, try this.
It's true, David. And I'll tell you, even at the height of my success in that building career time, just that one moment in time in my life, I was like 25, 26 when it really took off. I mean, it was just, I was on fire. That I couldn't hide it from anybody. It was just there, you know? And they came through and told me, everything is about to change. Just when everything was going really well, David,
mm-hmm.
they let me know, just like they always did, you know, that everything is about to change. The real estate market is going to take a turn for the worse.
Yep.
And, you know, their guidance is not always, you know, respectful of your convenience. It it is what it is.
It certainly isn't what you necessarily want to hear.
So you better not have your ego invested at that point. Now, I would have had a whole bunch of reasons to have my ego invested in all that. I mean, it was crazy how much this took off. And I would have had everyone else had their ego invested in it. And they were like 10, 20, 30 years older than me. And I'm looking at them going, now you don't really think this was you that caused all this success, do you? And everyone was like, yeah, Linda, of course it is. I'm going, okay. You know, I knew better, David. I knew better. So when this crash was coming, and it was palatable, I mean, it was so obvious. I was selling all my properties. I was selling my investment properties. I was finishing my subdivisions. I wasn't, you know, building any more projects out into the future. In the building business, you're out 2 or 3 years into the future, you know?
Right.
So, especially when you're developing land and that you're building on. So I pulled everything back, and I completed everything as fast as I could, and I got out, and I cashed out. And I cashed out 3 months before it crashed.
Wow.
And everyone, and I mean everyone around me, just got bowled over. They lost everything. They lost their Ferraris. They lost their mansions. They lost their fake marriages. I mean, it all came crashing down. What I'm trying to say to you, David, is it was a correction that was way overdue.
Right.
You know, so there's no accidents. Everything works exactly like it's supposed to. One thing my guides told me when I was a little kid, they said, life will get better for you as you get older if you can make it through childhood. And right. And when that first came through, I was like, oh, you know, that sounded like something they were looking out for me. Like I had protection, like everything was going to work out okay.
Right.
And then at one point, when I got a little bit older in my childhood, I saw where that prophecy became chillingly true, okay? And then to go forward into my adulthood, as soon as I got out of there with my life, every day from that day forward has been better every single day. That prophecy was so right on. My life has been better every single day of my life since I've gotten older.
That's a wonderful thing to be able to say, and I don't know that many people can say that.
Well, it's not that it's for everybody. What I'm saying is your guides will tell you when
right.
you have this relationship
right. no,
with
I'm,
them, you know.
I'm just saying what a wonderful thing it is that you can say that.
But I'm telling you, I'm leaving the middle part out, David. See, the middle part.
Oh, you
part
mean
is,
all the work?
Okay, no, the part. Okay, let me repeat that phrase. Life will get better for you, Linda, as you get older, and here's the glitch, if you can make it through childhood.
Right.
Now, you have to read Guided to find out what that was. I almost didn't make it, David. Okay. So I'm sure that everybody has that moment in time where they don't think they can stand another day of this, okay? Or they just ran out of hope, David, you know? And it's hard. And it's very hard. And they can't see another day. They don't know how they're going to get through it, you know? That's that moment I hit. And if my guides had their hands full, let me tell you, at that moment. And it worked out. But they knew, and the reason they gave me that warning, that prophecy, and that promise at the beginning of my life is because they knew when I came into this life that I was going to hit that moment in time where my life might be cut short. And they were going to have to all be right there, just, you know, giving it their everything they had to get me through it, you know?
Right.
So that's the part I didn't tell you about. So it wasn't all roses, right, David, you know?
Well, that's the nature of being in an abusive family, and not everybody does make it through. And then you have to heal from all the stuff that happens. So.
That's true, David. That's true. That's always a lifetime job, but when you're walking with your guides, when you're living a guided life, that's exactly how I describe the book Guided. Living mm-hmm. a guided life. When you're living a guided life, you have all the help you need. You have more than all the help you need. You're never alone.
Well, I think a lot of people have a sense of that happening in their lives, but they don't have the direct communication that you had.
I know.
So, you know, they make a decision that doesn't make any sense in the moment and it turns out to be the right decision, or they meet just the right person, or, you know, all those circumstantial things that happen, which if you're looking at it that way, you can say, okay, I can see where there was help here, because that's how we think about it, because we've got an experience of that.
That's where Guided, the book Guided,
mm-hmm.
picks up the ball. That's where the story of my life turns into the steps into how people can do this on their own. That's how different this book is. It's not like a story about, it's not a book about a story about me. Of course it is. But it is much more than that. It reads like a suspense novel. It walks people through the lessons I learned. And when people read this book, the feedback has been that, wow, I get it, Linda. I get it. I'm going to read it again, underline it, highlight it, mark the pages. I get it. That described me to the T. So it doesn't leave out the reader. The reader gets it. They can
right.
imagine it. They can see how to step into it.
It's a wonderful gift that you're giving people.
It is. They even told me.
Make them aware of it and show them how they can work with it.
It's an amazing book. And like I said, I don't take the credit for it. Even when I was done writing the book, my husband Ray and I, we worked together in this business. And I said to Ray, I said, you know, I don't have a title for the book. And he said, well, what else is new, Linda? He goes, you know how you are. And I said, yeah. And he goes, just leave it alone. It's going to show up. And I said, yep. So it was about 2 weeks later, 3:00 in the morning, I have a dream. And it wakes me right up. And I said to Ray, I said, Ray, I've got the title for the book. They gave it to me. And they came through with the word guided. The title of the book is Guided. And I went, man, that's exactly the story of my life.
Right.
Of course that's the title of the book, you know? And on the front of the book, did you see the front of this book, David?
Yeah, I did see the cover.
Yeah. So what was your interpretation of that photograph I took?
I was not sure what that was.
Okay, so, and everyone, the reason I ask you that is because I can tell you what that is, and it says right what it is. It's my spirit guide angel. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody sees something, you know, from their experience, what they see in that photograph. It's like a piece of art. People see whatever they see in that art.
Right.
And it's not the same thing the other person sees, right? So what it is if you look at the photograph, the photograph on the front of that cover that I took in 1994, that I happened to have a Nikon camera in my hand when she appeared right in front of me. Hello, what's the likelihood of that? And I snapped off the picture, and there it is on the book 20 years later.
Right.
So it's a physical form. It's the form of a body. You can see that it's a body.
Yeah.
And there's a spine. The spine is very obvious. And there's the behind, okay? And it's projecting out of the TV from behind her, and the legs coming down. And if you look at the top of it, you'll see the face.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing experience
to have it show up in that kind of...
I had that sitting on my mantle in my living room for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
People would come in and grab the photograph and go, wow. And they'd all have a different interpretation of it. Little kids would see it, and they'd hug it. And the parents would try to get it out of their arms, and they'd cry. They wouldn't let it go.
Right.
I'm just going, you know, this is... This is amazing. So then 20 years later, I write the book, and there's that's the front cover. Again, I wrote the book, and I didn't know that would be the front cover, David. It all picked itself, you know? it's amazing. This is what a guided life is like.
Right.
It's magical. It's what it should be. It's what it's supposed to be, you know?
And very much... I think what people who lived closer to the land a long time ago experienced, where they were more in touch with nature, they were more in touch with the spirit world, they were feeling things and experiencing things, not just with their head, but taking it all in. And,
right.
Oh, I have to go this way. Oh, I have to go that way. Oh, this is the right thing to do. Or in indigenous cultures, you know, listening to the trees, listening to the animals, and getting messages from them. So we've kind of lost it, and this is a return to it.
They didn't have cell phones, David. You know? I mean, people are really waylaid by all the distractions, and I mean... Right. The distractions are the biggest detriment to people making this connection.
Mm-hmm.
So they need a break from it. They need some time out. In Guided, it talks about that. It explains it. It shows how, you know, the guides explain it in the 137 lessons throughout the book. How you kind of how you learn to break out of that, how you give yourself room to breathe and get back to yourself. You can have all that stuff. You don't have to throw it in the garbage, but you have to learn how to manage it better.
Right.
That's all. We're supposed to perfect living in two worlds at the same time. We're smart enough now. We've evolved enough to be able to spin the plates.
Yeah, know? I like that image.
So people can do it. They can do it. And it's fun. It's not work. This is different than work. This is different than having to do it. This is what you get to do. Finally, you get to do this.
Right.
Guided explains it step by step. As they read how I lived my life, and by the way, this is a very transparent book about my life. I didn't hold back. I didn't hold back because I didn't want to cheat the reader out of the real experience. I told them the whole truth, David.
So I'm sure some of it is difficult to read.
Yes, some of it is. But you know what? It's honest. It's brutally honest about my life so that they can get this. No matter where they're coming from, they can get this.
Right.
What was the point in writing this book if it wasn't going to be helpful and effective for the reader? What good was it? It wasn't about me. It was about helping them.
Well, it's a wonderful gift that you're giving people, sharing your life and sharing your guidance and teaching people how to do that.
I know.
What a wonderful thing that you've put together.
Yes, I agree. And I didn't do it. I can't take all that credit, yet, like I never have. I never took the credit, you know, when I was doing all that great home building. I laughed at everyone who did. I just thought, man, you're gonna get hit by that bus. Full force. You're not going to see it coming. The way I describe the guides is what they do is they come in like warnings. I've been warned many times. Wow. Guided is filled with all the experiences that happen in my life about the warning signs and how I, and the way I explain it is it's like sitting on the railroad track. And the railroad, you know, the train is coming. At some point, the train's going to come down that railroad track. And what the guides do is they give you a heads up. They warn you. Okay,
right.
why don't you get off the railroad track, let the train go by, and if you want to get back on the railroad track, go right ahead. But
right. But
if you don't want to listen, if you don't want to pay attention to us, then you're going to get hit by that train, and we'll see you on the other side.
Right.
You know, right. I mean, people don't need to suffer like this, David. It's not necessary. And right now, more people are suffering than ever before because things have changed a lot in 10 years, you know?
Right.
And it's meant to be. Here's another thing the guides say. They say, nothing in this world, in your life, ever happens to you. Everything happens for you.
Oh, I love that. And it's a good place for us to unfortunately stop because
we've
run out of time.
That's great, David. You know, one last little plug for these guys. When they go to the lyndadeer.com website, sign up for the Linda's Weekly Guided Insight. It's free. Mm-hmm. We channel this information every week, and it's emailed out to their email box every Tuesday.
Fantastic.
And everybody loves it. It's a special message from the Spirit Guide Angels as a gift from them. You.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for being on the show, Linda. It's
You're
been
welcome.
Great fun. And
yes,
I'm looking forward to seeing the book.
Okay.
My guest has been Linda Deer, spelled D-E-I-R. Her website is lyndadeer.com. And she just wrote the book Guided, talking about living a life with spiritual guidance from spirit guides. Linda, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
So, if you got curious at all about what this weird guy David does, you can go to househealing.com And cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every conceivable way to get in touch with me, including my scheduling calendar so that we can make a phone appointment. I do a 20-minute free assessment of whatever's going on with a person, place, situation, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information about the show or finding the archive of past shows, go to thefarkasfiles.com, and everything is there. You can also get information on empowerradio.com. So thank you so much for being with us. Until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.